Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Again, as always, I'd like you to see it in your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have some in the back, or find it on your tablet, your phone, where your Bible program is. We're turning to Luke chapter 11 this morning. And I'm going to begin with verses 1 through 3 of Luke. And we're going to talk about how God is right on time. Say that with me. Right on time. And this is going to be two or three messages on the miracle of what happened with Lazarus. You can call it, if you want, subtitled The Anatomy of a Miracle. We're going to try to take this in some component parts. We'll cover some of this morning. The Anatomy of a Miracle, Lazarus, part one. Jesus declares in the book of John, in chapter 11, I am the, say it with me please, resurrection and the life. That's verse 24. But let's go back to verses 1 through 3. It's not over on your overhead or on your transparency in front of you, your slide in front of you. But in your own Bible, Luke, or John chapter 11 rather, verses 1 through 3 sets the flow of where we're going to go this morning. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, actually Bethania in the Greek, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. John chapter 11, verse 2. Now we're on to verse 3. Therefore the sisters sent to him, meaning Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is what? He whom you love is sick. I'm the resurrection and the life. And he proves it by one of the most astounding miracles in all of the Bible as we let this chapter unfold. Jesus' ministry has brought him to this point. Remarkable things have been done at the hands of the Lord. Raising from the dead, feeding thousands from a little boy's lunch, and opening blind eyes and opening deaf ears and causing the mute to be able to speak, healing lepers. A touch of his garment, if you remember, in the middle of a thronging crowd, he feels and senses the anointing go through him to heal a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and had spent all her life and living on physicians. Incredible things. They'd never seen it like this, ever. And yet at the same time, the fight and the struggle, the stress, and constant spiritual warfare with the Pharisees and the Sadducees is growing moment by moment by moment, ever more intense. They resist him. They test him. How would you do if you were in the middle of a crowd and you were teaching and they came up every time and began to test you and push you and look for a way to trap you and look for how wrong you are all the time instead of receiving any of the life you have to give? They struggle with him. They're jealous of his results and of his following. And all I can say is, man, can you think if you were Jesus, how exhausting would that have been? Would have been just horrific. And Jesus finds repast, refreshing, if you will, in the home of his friends. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and Bethany. Bethania, Bethany. Bethany's a little town just a couple of miles from Jerusalem. It was a small village. It was close to the center of the action, but far enough away to give him some refreshment and distance away from all of the chaotic crowds and those who were trying to constantly spear him. Now, Bethany had been settled by Galileans. So it was reported that Jesus and his disciples, by the way, who were considered Galileans, could find refreshing in Bethany. It was close to the center. They were comfortable there. Now, according to the temple scroll, just interesting information. According to the temple scroll from the Qumran, I'll get that. There were three places for the care of the sick including one for the lepers, and they were to be east of Jerusalem. The passage also defines a minimum radius of 3,000 cubits or 1,800 yards from around the city within which nothing unclean should be seen. Since Bethany was, according to the book of John, 15 stadia, about 1¾ miles from the holy city, care for the sick there corresponded with the requirements of the temple scroll. So Bethany is an area that was just down the hill out of sight from the temple. Bethphage or Phrage, also on the map over here, you see Bethphage, it's Bethphage. That was a city that could be seen, or a village that could be seen from the Temple Mount. And the over-the-hill one, if you will, Bethania or Bethany, could have the lepers and the unclean and the ill, and it wouldn't be seen from the Temple Mount. Now, it was said that there were a multitude of poor there, and it was a place where the poor could go and be cared for. And it is said that this is the location where Jesus declares his words, "The poor you have with you always." And so the context wasn't just some cold statement that could seem harsh out in the middle of somewhere, but right there in an area where they were surrounded and caring for the poor. His point was, you're always going to have the poor there with you. But remember what was happening at that time? He was being anointed for his burial. So that's Bethany. That's the context. That's where we are. That's where Jesus loved to go and hang out with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Lazarus is sick. That's what we find out. Mary, his sister, is the one who anointed the Lord. She lavishly pours out expensive perfume on him. And remember, did the disciples love that? They just loved her expression to him? No, they didn't. They didn't. Especially led by who? Judas. This could have been sold and given to the poor. And again, the comment, "The poor you have with you always." This, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, is a family of friends. Look at each other. Look around. And you got friends in this room. People you like. People who are family. People you don't mind hanging out with. You. Go ahead, turn to each other and say, "I don't mind hanging out with you." And basically, you guys, the message that's coming is, Jesus, your best friend is sick and dying. Your bud, the one you like to hang out with when everybody else is digging at you, you got peace over here, and your buddy's dying. Now, notice what the scripture says about him. Listen to this. The one you love is sick. How must he have demonstrated that day by day, so the one that everybody would immediately know, the one you love, is sick? Are you glad in this room that God loves you?
Yes.
Come on, God loves me and I'm glad.
Yes.
So the one you love, they identified Lazarus by the critical factor that Jesus loves him. The one you love is sick. No fair, Lord. You would think, since we're that close, Lord, you'd spare me this. Come on, anybody think that way?
Yeah.
Anybody think that, you know, you wish and you're glad you weren't Job? You know, Job's standing there and he's just doing his thing, trying to be righteous. He's sacrificing on behalf of his kids who probably were sinners. Anybody in this room? Huh? Your kids may be sinners. Every now and then you pray for them. Come on. Don't look so holy at me. Come on. You're praying for your kids and you're walking with God, and all of a sudden the devil says to God, "Well, what about him?" And God says, "Yeah, what about him? He's a great guy." He says, "Well, he's only great because you won't let me at him." And so the test unfolds. How many are glad you're not Job?
Yes.
Like being a friend of God, just don't want to be tested like that. But wait a minute. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, we're buddies with Jesus. We don't have to go through any of this stuff. I mean, you'd think when the Lord is handing out tests, he's going to skip right by his best girl here. He's going to go to somebody else. Or his buddy is going to not get that test. What's the deal? You hang out with Jesus, you should be fine. Come on, church. You hang out with Jesus, and none of you in this room has any problems at all.
We love you too.
You hang out with Jesus, and some of you have heartbreaking things happen. Some of us have lost family members that should have never died early. And it makes no sense. Some of us have illness issues. And you can claim and declare your healing all day long and should. And we pray and we believe God is able to heal. And we believe he loves you and cares and wants to see you healed and set free and delivered. And sometimes problems still happen. How come, Lord? No fair. Can you say of yourself, I'm the one he loves? Yeah, you can. The root is, he cares. He sees. He wants to know what's going on and does. The stuff that concerns you, come on, church, concerns him. I quoted the scripture a few weeks ago, or last week even maybe, and I'm going to do it again. Watch Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Anybody in this room have any concerns on your heart this morning? Yeah. Am I getting the right crowd?
Yeah.
The Lord will perfect. Now, what does that mean? The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Out of the New American Standard, it says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Out of the NIV, the Lord will fulfill this purpose, his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Come on, church, how long does his love last?
Forever.
Endures forever. And out of the message, I love this. Finish what you started in me, God. Your love is eternal. Come on, how many can say this last phrase? Don't quit on me now. I come out this far, don't quit on me now. This man Lazarus is the very definition of a friend. And you know, in your heart of hearts, every one of you in this room knows right along with me that Jesus wants to come through for him. I believe if there was anybody Jesus wanted to come through with, come through for, it was his buddy Lazarus. And why is that important? Because I believe if there's anybody Jesus wants to come through for, it's you. It's you. Those who love him because he first loved us. Those, the Bible says, the passion puts it beautifully, the lovers of God. We who love him, he wants to come through for. He's not unfeeling. He's not unkind. He doesn't shut his eyes and ears. He sees, he hears, he knows. But I got to ask you, what do you do when he doesn't come through when you want, how you want, where you want, the way you want? The old commercial used to say, what's a mother to do? What do you do?
You pray.
What do you do? Lazarus is sick. Your friend, the one you love, Lord. But wait 2 more days. What's up with that? John chapter 11. I want you to let your eyes come down and read verses 4-7 in your own Bible or up here. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. How many of you can say, thank God for that? But it's for, would you please read it with me? The glory of God. It's for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Come on. When the problems mount, by the grace of God and with Jesus, you're going through it. And he will be glorified through it. Remember, one of the nicest verses in Scripture to hold on to is, and it came to pass. It came to pass. Come on, say it with me. And it came to pass. Tough at the time, but it is in the past. Now, Jesus, one more time, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, the first time we see that word love, the one you loved, is phileo, brotherly love. This one is agapeo, the deep love of God, abiding and eternal love and care. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus just like God loves. Because he is God, isn't he? But agapeo, just like God loves, for God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus. So stop and consider, no matter what you are going through, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how difficult, no matter the bumps, the bruises, the scars, the temptations, your God loves you right through it. He doesn't abandon you. He sees you. He knows you. He hears you. He's with you. He is the God who loves you. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And it's important that we know. It's important that we know. How do we yield to him when life doesn't make any sense? Two more days? Lord, I sent for you and you didn't come very quickly. You ever want to say to the Lord, with full respect, of course, why are you a slowpoke? Where are you? Where are you, Lord? I called out to you right away. Can you trust that Jesus has your best in mind, even when it doesn't look like it? Now, Jesus has been in real trouble in Jerusalem. The leaders basically want him arrested and dead. And his disciples turned to him and said, you want to go back? Don't you love it? Thomas may sound pretty negative, doesn't he? You got to love it. Old positive Tom. Okay, well, let's go die with him. But you know what? Consider. Thomas was the only one who said it. And Thomas was the one who led it. And Thomas, filled with faith and courage, even in the midst of his fear, said, we're going to go back with Jesus. And if it means we die with him, we're going to walk with him. It's not just negative, Tom. It's thank God for his faith to stand with the Lord. But realize, guys, Jesus always goes to the need. He always goes to the place of need, even if it means two more days. Two more days. How do you handle waiting? Or not yet? Or no? Yes, I know God is yes and amen. I know that. I get it. But sometimes we ask for stupid stuff. Anybody say amen? Sometimes we ask for stupid stuff. You know, I mean, by this stage in life, you probably right along with me have some prayers that you thank God he didn't answer. He knows the beginning from the end. And you go, you know, you can imagine sometimes Jesus in heaven going, well, yeah, I heard you. And I ain't going to do it because I love you too much. That's the only reason he hasn't blessed me with a $500 million lottery prize. He loves me too much.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ask him to love me a little less. So, what do you do? I mean, really, guys, when understanding is just a little bit beyond where you are, where it's just a little bit beyond you and me, where it's a little bit out of reach. In the night seasons when you wake up worried and you go, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. What do you do? How do you handle the wait? I'm going to give you a few thoughts here this morning. By the way, consider, Jesus was probably at least a day away. Some commentaries in the past, we've spoken about it, he was probably only 2 miles away. That's probably not true. When you study that further, he was probably at least a day away. So a day there to give him the news, he waits 2 more days, and the 4th day he comes back. And remember your context, they say he's been dead and buried 4 days. He probably, and in those days, they would bury immediately because the climate conditions would make the body begin to decay right away. So they put him in a tomb right away. It's probable that Lazarus was dead even before the message got to Jesus. But you gotta understand right along with me that he loves this family so much, don't you think he probably wanted to get there immediately? But he had something else to do before the Father. Bethabara, or Bethabara, was probably where he was, about 25 miles away. He probably wanted to get there right away. He sees, he knows. So how do you handle the wait? You wait. He's God. He's in charge. He's always right on time. Are you sure? He's always right on time. Even when it's not my time. You yield to him and do his timing. Listen, have you ever tried to get in front of God? Ever tried to take the wheel in the car? You know, the old Carrie Underwood, wasn't it her first hit, Jesus Take the Wheel? You ever, if you didn't try to get in front, ever dragged your feet and say, I ain't going there. Jonah did that, didn't he? I don't want to go there. He wants us to walk with him and trust him. Neither way, either in front or dragging our feet, works well. You only frustrate yourself and you hinder the purpose of God. You know, by the way, the only way I know any of this is because I read it in a book. I understand it. I get it. You and I, we all get this. We know what it's like when you have to surrender or get to surrender and yield to the Lord. How do you handle the wait? Number one, keep God's purpose your purpose. Keep God's purpose your purpose. God's glory and praise. Isn't that ultimately what you want? Lord, I want my life to bring glory to you. I want my life to bring you praise. I want you to get glory through me. Come on, isn't that what you want? Someone say amen or oh no. Amen. John 11 verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the what? Glory of God. That the Son of God may be what? Glorified through it. Lord Jesus, no matter what we go through, no matter how hard it is, let my heart be responsive to you so I keep your purposes as my purposes because I want you to get glory from my life. Out of the passion, when he heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place. Now, his disciples thought Jesus meant that, okay, he's sick, but he's not going to die. And Jesus saw it a lot deeper. But keep God's purpose, your purpose. How many want to do that? Yes. Number two, keep his perspective and keep worshiping Jesus. Keep his perspective, and even when it's tough, keep worshiping Jesus. Do you understand that he is bigger than everything? And he's in total control. We used to sing, and still from time to time sing, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Right? Three of you look like you remember that song. Bigger than all my problems. Can I say something kindly that is an ouch experience for each of us, including me? You mind if I share an ouch sentence with you? You're not the center of your universe, Jesus is. Me too. I'm not the center of my universe. And when I magnify my pain and walk away from Jesus because he didn't do what I wanted him to do, I am making myself the center of my universe. When I push away God's people, when I push away God's word, when I push away the church, when I push away people that want to help, when I push away his presence, I don't want anything to do with you. I've just made myself the center of my universe. Jesus is good. We don't get him all the time, but all the time he's got you. We don't always get him, but he's always got us. We were created to give him glory. Look at our purpose, Revelation 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everybody but me, because you don't get me. No, you created all things, and by your will, they exist and were created. He's God, church, not us. Come on, say that with me. He is God, not us. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who has made us, not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Of his pasture. So he takes us and guides us and leads us in his pasture where he wants. So when you keep his perspective, you can continue to praise and worship him. Let him be big and the problem get small. Amen?
Amen?
Let him be big and the problem get small. Romans 3, verse 4, out of the Message. Depend on it. God keeps his word even when the whole world is lying through its teeth. Scripture says the same. Your words stand fast and true. So that leads us to point three. Keep confessing his word. Whose report are you going to believe? Let's believe God's report. His word. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Out of the heart, the scripture says, the mouth speaks. Oh God, I don't get it, but I know you've got me. Come on, even if you only remember one sentence and you go through turmoil this week, remember, oh God, I don't get it, but you've got me. And I believe it. And I believe your word. Don't believe the devil's lies and distractions. Believe the word of Jesus. Romans 3, verse 4. Let God be true, and every man a what?
Liar.
Next to God, every man's a liar, because his word is the truth. His word is what you hold to. Number four, choose who you will serve. Who are you going to serve? Even if it doesn't come out the way you want, or the way I want, when confusion seems to be our portion, remember Jesus isn't confused. He's not. When you don't feel like you can see the way, he sees and he is the way. And he'll guide you step by step. Joshua 24, verse 15 comes right down to where we live, though. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But say it with me, please. As for me and my house, we will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've only just begun to take a look at Lazarus's miracle. Next week, we're going to take a little closer look at Mary and Martha and how the Lord helps his friends really believe. He's not a God who likes to leave you alone. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Sometimes when things get comfortable, he stirs it up. Sometimes when things are too stirred up, he gives you a little comfort. Thank God. But he's the God who does all things well. He sees you, he knows you, and he's right here with you. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Stand with me, would you? I love him so much, and I know you do too. So it's been good to be in God's house this morning. It's good to take some time after church is over to sit together. Share with each other. What'd you hear the Lord say? What's He saying to you? What's He doing in you? To encourage each other, not just run out, but hang in there. Pray for each other. Love each other. Because we're family running after the Lord together, right? And from this place, we put our trust in You, Lord. Even when it's tough, we know You're stronger still. And even when we don't understand, we know You are not the God of confusion, but of power and love and sound mind and peace. Bless Your people who have come to the house of God this day. And as we go from this place, we go strengthened in the Word of God and encouraged in our walk with You. We bless You, Lord, and we surrender to You. No matter what, we know that You've got us. Come on, say it. No matter what, I know You've got me. No matter what, I know You've got me. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen, Lord, so be it. God bless you. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, leaning on the everlasting arms.